I'm going to go off script and make Chris quite nervous here by making this audience participation. All right, are you with me? Yeah? All right. So what I'd like to do is have you raise your hand if you've ever heard a heterosexual couple having sex. Could be the neighbors, hotel room, your parents. Sorry. Okay, pretty much everybody. Now raise your hand if the man was making more noise than the woman. I see one guy there. It doesn't count if it was you, sir. All right, so, okay, his hand's down, and one woman, okay, sitting next to a loud guy. Now, what does this tell us? It tells us that human beings make noise when they have sex, and it's generally the woman who makes more noise. This is known as female copulatory vocalization to the clipboard crowd. I wasn't even going to mention this, but somebody told me that Meg Ryan might be here, and she is the world's most famous female copulatory vocalizer. So I thought, got to talk about that. We'll get back to that a little bit later. Let me start by saying human beings are not descended from apes, despite what you may have heard. We are apes. We're more closely related to the chimp and the bonobo than the African elephant is to the Indian elephant, as Jared Diamond pointed out in one of his early books. We're more closely related to chimps and bonobos than chimps and bonobos are related to any other primate, gorillas, orangutans, what have you. So we're extremely closely related to them. And as you'll see, in terms of our behavior, we've got some relationship as well. So what I'm asking today, the question I want to explore with you today is, what kind of ape are we in terms of our sexuality? Now, since Darwin's day, there's been what Casilda and I have called the standard narrative of human sexual evolution. And you're all familiar with it, even if you haven't read this stuff. The idea is that as part of human nature, from the beginning of our species time, men have sort of leased women's reproductive potential by providing them with certain goods and services. Generally, we're talking about meat, shelter, status, protection, things like that, right? And in exchange, women have offered fidelity, or at least a promise of fidelity. Now, this sets men and women up in an oppositional relationship. The war between the sexes is built right into our DNA, according to this vision, right? What Casilda and I have argued is that, no, this economic relationship, this oppositional relationship, is actually an artifact of agriculture, which only arose about 10,000 years ago at the earliest. Anatomically modern human beings have been around for about 200,000 years. So we're talking about 5% at most of our time as a modern distinct species. So before agriculture, before the agricultural revolution, it's important to understand that human beings lived in hunter-gatherer groups that are characterized wherever they're found in the world by what anthropologists call fierce egalitarianism. They not only share things, they demand that things be shared. Meat, shelter, protection. All these things that were supposedly being traded to women for their sexual fidelity, turns out, are shared widely among these societies. Now, I'm not saying that our ancestors were noble savages, and I'm not saying modern-day hunter-gatherers are noble savages either. What I'm saying is that this is simply the best way to mitigate risk in a foraging context. And there's really no argument about this among anthropologists.